We are still in our series looking at how our spirituality can become the way to real, meaningful life. We've looked at life-giving worship on Easter. We've looked at life-giving prayer last week. And this week, we're looking at life-giving fasting. And hopefully, you know, fasting doesn't mean you become a better sprinter. It means giving up something for a period of time. In fact, the word breakfast is two words, break, fast. It is the meal at which you break your overnight fast. Now, most of us get our experience with fasting at Lent, mainly. There's a long history of people giving something up for Lent. That is a form of fasting. And there are many different kinds of fasts. One guy I knew came to me and proudly told me how he was giving up dark chocolate as a fast because it was a temptation in his life. And so he was going to get rid of that temptation. And he told me this while holding a bag of milk chocolate. So it's a very specific fast, apparently. And I know quite a few people who became interested in fasting when their age started making it harder to maintain their weight. And so this would be something from the Bible that also helps me stay in my jeans. This is a win-win, right? And then there's another person, a totally crazy person. If you saw the sermon teaser, you know who it was, who fasted for 4 days to try to convince God to help a troubled dating relationship in high school. Find someone who watched the sermon teaser video and they can tell you who it is. Trust me, you know them. But then we heard how Daniel did his fast in our first text today, and he wasn't doing it to try to swap one temptation out for another. He wasn't doing it to try to maintain his svelte figure, and he certainly wasn't trying to manipulate God. And in our other text today, Jesus agrees with Daniel that fasting has a very specific purpose. Matthew chapter 6, if you are able, please stand for reading from the gospel. Jesus said, "Whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This is the word of the Lord. So thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, back when I was in seminary, there was one of my friends and his wife were really into Facebook. And when you're using Facebook, you have some options when you send a message. It can be a private message that only you and the other person can see, or you can write a message to a person and have it seen by them and all of your common friends, like a birthday note. You might want that. Or you can post it for the entire world to see. Those are your options on Facebook. And knowing that, I always found it interesting when I would see that his wife would post something like, "I'm going to the store, what should I pick up?" And then he would reply, "We're out of ketchup." And then she would respond, ask, "Do we need hamburgers?" And he'd say, "No, we're good." And why do I know all this? Because they posted it for the entire world to see. I always wanted to jump in and say, "Hey, can you pick me up some chopsticks while you're there? That'd really appreciate it." That conversation is typically meant to be private, but they let it out there for the entire world to see. In the same way, Jesus says, fasting is meant to be a private conversation between you and God. And so if you walk around grimacing and holding your stomach and moaning along the way, Jesus says your reward is people's recognition about how awesome you are in your spirituality. When they think that about you, that's your only reward. That's all you're going to get out of it. But if you keep it private, that's when you can have a deep, meaningful conversation with God. Kind of reminds me of the joke, an atheist, a vegan, and a CrossFitter walk into a bar, and I only know because they told everyone within 2 minutes. Fasting is meant not to be something public that you broadcast to everyone. It's meant to be a private conversation with God. And that's exactly what happened in our text from Daniel. Daniel didn't eat rich food, meat, or wine. He didn't anoint himself with oil, which means he probably didn't smell so great back then. And he did that for 3 weeks. Now notice he qualified it. It didn't say all foods. It said he abstained from rich foods. He was still eating something. Fasting doesn't have to be an all or nothing deal. So he fasted from those things for 3 weeks, and what happened? He was standing on the bank of the great river Tigris and saw a vision. And this angel, this messenger, touched him, brought him to his feet, and said, "Daniel, greatly beloved, pay attention to the words I'm going to speak to you. Stand on your feet, for I have now been sent to you." Wow. Can you imagine hearing that message from God? "Let me help you to your feet. You are greatly beloved. I have a special, intimate message for you." How would that affect your life if you heard that from God? Well, you can. That's what fasting does. It prepares you for that private, intimate conversation with God. Do you want that kind of conversation? But how does it work? Well, let me illustrate. My mom's side of the family are notorious worriers. That is like their trade in life. And their most common worry is, what are we going to eat for our next meal? A close second is strange weather patterns, but number one is definitely the food. And so whenever you like finish lunch at a family gathering, before everyone has even left the table, someone inevitably will ask, "What are we eating for dinner?" And it's not because they're worried that we're going to go hungry. It's just they worry to make sure we're going to have the right meal, the basic necessity of food. Now, in my household, I know meals can occupy a good bit of our mental capacity because, you know, the kids get hungry at 5, which means they're actually grumpy at like 4:30. And it's difficult to make a meal when you've got a toddler hanging on your leg. And so you have to plan ahead. And then we have to eat too. Are we going to have the same thing as the kids? Will everyone like it? Or are we going to have a special meal? Are we even going to be able to eat it? Or do we have to wait till they go to bed? You get the point. Now, when you fast, you are removing something from your diet or from your life for a time. But that's not all. You're supposed to take the time that you spent on the object of your fast and replace it with time listening for God's voice. And so if you're fasting from lunch, for example, can you be alone asking God to speak? If you're fasting from dark chocolate, that's okay. Ask God to speak whenever you have a craving for that sweet, succulent yet slightly bitter taste of heaven. Sorry for tempting you if you are currently on a dark chocolate fast. Now, when you fast, when you're preparing for that private, intimate conversation with God, you remove something, that's the fast, and then you replace it with prayer. That's how not eating something can be the most nourishing thing for your soul. When you remove through the fast and you replace through prayer, you are preparing for God to feed your soul, just as he did with Daniel on the banks of the Tigris River. Do you want to nourish your soul? Do you want to hear from God, maybe just in general, or maybe you've got something very specific, a specific question? If so, how can you remove something and replace it with time listening to God? How can you prepare for that private and intimate conversation? Now, if you picked up the devotional guide that we have for this sermon series and you go to the fasting page, you'll see a specific plan I put together to give fasting a shot. Step one is to choose a spiritual purpose. Whether it's a specific question or just a desire to hear from God, write down a goal for your fast. Step two is to choose your fast. Is it going to be all food and you're just going to have water? Is it going to be certain foods like Daniel did? Or maybe something that isn't food? Whatever it is that you're removing, write that down. Step three is to choose your prayer. What will you do to replace that fasting with an opportunity to hear from God? Is it a certain phrase that you'll keep repeating until you get an answer? Is it a certain place you'll go to pray? Whatever it is you're going to do to intentionally replace the time with a conversation with God, write that down. And then finally, step four is choose an endpoint. This is both a time and a check-in. Now, how will you know that you're done with your fast? How will you know if God actually spoke? How will you know if your spiritual purpose from step one was met? Write that down for your endpoint. I've actually done this for every major decision about where to go as a pastor. And so far, I've had a really good idea beforehand of where I should go and shouldn't go. And so my purpose, my step one, wasn't for God to tell me where to go. My purpose was to give God a chance to whack me upside the head just in case I was wrong. And he's done that a couple times. Spiritual purpose was for God to get through my wool-headed mind if he needed to. Sisters and brothers, sometimes not eating something can be the most nourishing things for our souls. Fasting is a way to prepare for a private and intimate conversation with God, and we do that by removing something from our life for a time and replacing it with intentional prayer, listening for what God has to say. So fasting isn't about replacing one temptation with another. It's not about maintaining or losing weight, and certainly isn't about manipulating or bribing God to do what you want him to do. Fasting is about removing distractions, even removing comfort, to make sure nothing stands between you and what God wants to say to you. If you want to hear from the living God, I invite you to give it a shot. Maybe you'll hear something like Daniel did on the banks of the Tigris River. You are greatly beloved. Pay attention to the words I'm going to speak to you. Stand on your feet, for I have now been sent to you. Amen.